Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. Lots of people I know have had knee replacements, some because there were no other good choices, one with the hope of continuing an athletic lifestyle, and one who ended up with more pain than before the procedure. I'm sure you know plenty of people who've gone through the approximately 1 hour long surgery. For those wondering whether replacing their knee joint is something they want to pursue, AARP published a good summary of what should be considered before signing up to go under the knife. This was written by Richard La Liberté and was in the February-March 2017 issue of AARP magazine, and it is titled New Hope for Aging Knees. A power drill whirs noisily, shavings curl from the bit as it bores a precise hole. Cement oozes from a caulking gun to join two surfaces. A hammer whacks repeatedly on metal. Behind the workers, a busy crew shares measurements and part sizes. The music of Taylor Swift streams in the background. It's the sound of renovation, but it's not a new kitchen or bathroom. On this day, a medical team led by orthopedic surgeon Matthew Austin is replacing a knee joint. It's 11 a.m., and Austin, the director of joint replacement services at the Rothman Institute and Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia, is on his fifth surgery of the day. An hour later, he's out the door of the operating room and onto his next case, while the rest of the team handles the final details. 3 hours after the surgery wraps, Ralph Gabriel, now 70, the New Jersey construction business owner upon whom those tools whirred and banged, is awake and joking with his family in a recovery room. He didn't want surgery, but years of tile installation had destroyed the cushion of cartilage in his right knee, creating constant pain from bone grinding on bone. "You have to have the will to get it done," Gabriel says. He is just one of many who have found the will. About 700,000 knee replacement surgeries are performed each year in the U.S., making it the most common joint replacement procedure in America. By 2030, demand for knee replacements is expected to grow to 3.5 million, and patients under 60 will likely account for more than half of that growth. Orthopedic surgeons say the procedure pays off dramatically. Pain dissipates and people return to activities they love, including sports. Knee replacement is one of the most successful interventions in all of medicine when it comes to the effectiveness of the procedure, patient satisfaction, and outcomes, says Joshua Jacobs, professor and chair of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. But not everyone is thrilled with this surge in knee replacements. Are some people getting them prematurely or inappropriately? Are the outcomes as positive as so much marketing suggests? And are we putting excessively high expectations on an artificial body part to restore our youthful vigor and mobility? AARP, the magazine, talked with a broad range of experts to find out. With extensive use, most joints wear out. Whether it's a hinge on a kitchen door or the complex mix of tendons, ligaments, cartilage, and muscles that allows your legs to bend and move. The human knee is particularly vulnerable to wear. Every step, every jump, every crossing of the legs puts stress on the joint, and in any given day, you use each knee joint thousands of times. When you combine the active lifestyle of the over 50 population and our longer lifespans, it's no wonder that an increasing number of people are experiencing knee pain. There are many short-term remedies to the problem, from over-the-counter painkillers to ice bags to more intensive microsurgery procedures. But for a perpetually painful or arthritic knee, the go-to solution is to replace it. The first knee replacement surgery occurred in 1968, and scientists have been working to improve both the process and the product ever since. Today, doctors can choose from up to 200 sizes and variations of artificial knees. Most are made with polished titanium or a cobalt chrome alloy, plus high-grade plastics, and can last for decades. Put simply, an artificial knee works as a multidirectional hinge that connects the bottom of your femur, the upper leg bone, to the tibia, the shin bone. To install it, surgeons remove damaged cartilage and bone and connect the artificial knee to your bones. The surgery takes about an hour, involves a team of 4 to 8 healthcare professionals supporting a lead surgeon, and is done with the patient under local or general anesthesia. Technology keeps improving, with new devices such as patient-specific implants and materials like antioxidant polyethylene. But for most patients, the type of implant is probably irrelevant, many experts say. The key is to trust that your surgeon is familiar with the device being used, says Stephen Kelly, a joint replacement surgeon at New England Orthopedic Surgeons in Springfield, Massachusetts. Choose the surgeon, not the implant. Few would dispute that knee replacements are generally safe and in most cases appropriate, but not all doctors are convinced that replacement is the best answer for many patients. One study looked at the level of patient-reported pain and knee function, along with X-ray evidence of arthritis, in people who got total knee replacement surgery. The conclusion? About a third of the procedures were inappropriate, using a standard classification system developed in Spain. A 2015 follow-up study found that surgeries classified as inappropriate yielded little or no benefit in relieving pain or improving function. That is, patients with mildly bad knees had much less to gain from knee replacement surgery than did those with severe pain or bone-on-bone arthritis. Norton M. Hadler, a physician who has written several books about medical overtreatment, has a long history of warning people about the lack of evidence to support many popular medical procedures, including knee replacement surgery. It's open season on the American knee, and the younger, ages 50 to 60 knee in particular, says Hadler, emeritus professor of medicine at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Knee replacement is not a wonderful procedure. You don't leap out of bed afterward. In addition to the inevitable risks of surgery, you have months of rehab ahead of you. Hadler agrees that knee pain is widespread in America, but what's causing knee pain is often far less clear than people think. He adds that people may be better served by finding ways to cope with pain in cases where surgery's benefits aren't clear. I don't care how well the surgeon does it, how good the materials are, whether it's paid for, or if everybody in your neighborhood is getting one, he says. The question is, will you be better off? There's a level of uncertainty about that. The challenge is figuring out whether you'd benefit from surgery or from an alternative treatment. The answer depends on understanding both your condition and the forces driving orthopedic surgery. Keep in mind these 6 concerns before you schedule your knee replacement. 1, there's no clear standard. Surprisingly, there are no definitive criteria to determine whether you should undergo surgery, says Daniel Riddle, professor of orthopedic surgery and physical therapy at Virginia Commonwealth University. Instead, doctors assess 3 variables: pain, limits on daily activities, and visible evidence of bone damage. The challenge is that only the last of the 3 can be measured objectively. For the 2 others, I say there has to be either pain or disability, says orthopedic surgeon Stephen Haas, chief of the knee service at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York. Those are the things surgery helps the most. Your best move, ask your doctor to gauge how your symptoms compare with those of others using a standardized scale that can be compared with research, Riddle says. The knee injury and osteoarthritis outcome score is one example. I'd want to know if my symptoms are considered mild, moderate, or severe, and what I can expect a year from now, Riddle says. 2, marketing is often inaccurate. Surgeons likely will tell you that post-op, you should expect to dial back overall physical activity, but many hospitals promote surgery with ads showing fit people playing sports. You sometimes have 40 and 50-somethings with mild arthritis going into surgeons' offices and pushing hard for replacement because of market-driven forces saying it's a quick fix, Riddle says. Surgeons themselves can get caught up in the enthusiasm. In professional meetings, there's always someone showing pictures of patients surfing or mountain climbing or playing basketball, says one. We all like to hold up our patients who are doing crazy activities. Your best move? Hadler advises not even talking to a surgeon until you've had a thorough conversation with a primary care physician who has less of a stake in operating. And even if you are referred to a surgeon, keep an open mind. Most surgeons agree that knee replacement shouldn't be taken lightly, even with its overall history of success. It's major surgery, Jacobs says. You should contemplate it only after you've explored other options. And number three, expectations vary. Historically, 82 to 89% of people who get total knee replacement say they're satisfied afterward, but satisfaction is subjective. In one European study, 93% of patients were generally satisfied 5 years after surgery, but most also reported that they had expected more. Only one-third of those who considered sports or recreational activity important were pleased with their results. Significantly, researchers noted that not one of the 102 patients in their study achieved a higher-than-expected level of physical activity. And about 20% of patients will have long-term pain, suggests one study review. Ralph Gabriel is one of them. Post-surgery, he has been in constant pain, he says, and nothing he has tried, extensive physical therapy, electrical stimulation, over-the-counter pain medications, has helped. One medical textbook devotes several pages to the unhappy knee and how to treat patients who have poor results, a source of frustration and stress for surgeons and patients alike. Even though surgery is highly effective, there's this subgroup that just doesn't do very well despite having a well-implanted knee that's mechanically very sound, Riddle says. Your best move? Ask your surgeon detailed questions specific to your hobbies and daily activities about what you should and shouldn't expect after the surgery. Most surgeons say you may have to forgo hobbies that require lateral movement and are high impact, such as singles tennis or basketball, because they could prematurely shorten implant life. Number four, recovery takes time. You have to work hard to get better from this operation, Hadler says. That means 6 to 8 weeks of rehabilitation and physical therapy to regain range of motion and rebuild muscles and ligaments that stabilize and support the knee. Even with modern rehab techniques, one study found that a third of patients didn't have measurable improvements in pain 6 months after surgery. Another found that 1 in 8 patients still had moderate to severe pain 1 year post-op. In the latter study, however, almost all patients felt satisfied with their operations 5 years out. Your best move? Most hospitals now have an education program before surgery that allows patients to meet with providers in order to understand what's going to happen with their surgery and recovery, Kelly says. He recommends that anxious patients also visit a physical therapist before surgery to discuss rehab. Number five, all doctors are not the same. Finding a good surgeon is partly a numbers game. Research suggests that you'll do best with a surgeon who does more than 50 knee replacement operations a year. High and low volume surgeons had similar results on pain relief, one study found, but surgeons who do 6 or fewer knee replacements a year in low volume hospitals may be less skilled at the soft tissue fine tuning needed to achieve normal motion and full function. In that same study, patients of low volume surgeons were twice as likely to score poorly on function measures, such as being able to fully extend their knees 2 years after surgery. Your best move? Ask your surgeon about his or her outcomes, complication rates, infection rates, and readmissions. Don't settle for answers on these citing national averages. You want your surgeon's rate. The numbers should be around 2% or lower. Just as important, ask yourself, does your surgeon seem to take a sincere personal interest in what happens to you? The independent journalism organization ProPublica discovered that surgeons with extremely low rates of complications tended to express a sense of personal responsibility for patients before, during, and after surgery. And lastly, number six, risks are small but serious. The odds of having a major complication from knee replacement surgery are relatively low, but when you're talking about a large population, even a 1% risk means there are thousands of people who get knee replacements who have fairly substantial complications, Riddle says. Your best move, the earlier you discuss possible complications with your doctor, the better, Hadler says. Once the mindset is, I need this, you don't hear the risk, you hear the benefit, he says, and you sign the consent form regardless of how many things could go wrong. The newest technologies. Given current projections for knee troubles among the aging population, scientists are looking hard for better solutions that improve outcomes for knee replacement surgery or bypass it with less invasive but equally successful procedures. Here are some of the options that have emerged. Patient-specific instruments. Digital imaging creates tailor-made instruments that surgeons use just once in the operating room. These unique tools guide cuts and implant placements so they better match a patient's anatomy and potentially preserve more of it. It makes the operation shorter and more efficient, Haas says. Partial surgeries. Why replace the entire knee when only part of it is bad? So goes the reasoning behind partial or unicompartmental knee replacement. In these procedures, surgeons switch out just one part of the knee for an implant. Since the procedure leaves healthy cartilage, bone, and ligaments intact on the rest of the knee, replaced knees may feel more natural and recovery tends to be quicker. The trade-off is that implant survivorship is not as good, so partial knee replacements fail at a significantly higher rate than total knee replacements, Haas says. Only people with healthy ligaments are good candidates. Robotic surgery. Research has found that robotic systems can help surgeons position implants more precisely and consistently. Most of the time, robots help the surgeon avoid a mistake, says Jeremy Suggs, engineering manager at the ECRI Institute, a Philadelphia nonprofit that independently researches medical devices. The surgeon controls the tool, and the robot keeps him from going outside the area he wants to cut. Doctors most often use robotic systems for partial knee replacements that require extra precision to preserve ligaments. Arthroscopic procedures. Each year, some 700,000 people get scoped in a procedure called partial meniscectomy. It entails a surgeon going into the knee through a keyhole incision to trim and smooth jagged edges of torn meniscus, a layer of cartilage that cushions bones in the joint. Some studies, however, have found that this procedure produces no better results than sham surgery, in which orthopedics scope the knee but don't fix anything. That's made a lot of surgeons pretty cautious about recommending arthroscopy for patients with arthritis of the knee, says Craig Delaval, an orthopedic surgeon and chief of adult reconstruction at Rush University Medical Center. Whether the balance of risk and reward finally steers you toward knee replacement surgery depends on a lot of factors, but it ultimately comes down to your tolerance for one type of discomfort over another. We tell patients, you'll know when you're ready, Austin says. They say, what do you mean? Then they come back when they're no longer willing to tolerate daily pain and dysfunction, and they say, now I understand. And we have another article from Common Sense Family Doctor blog. And this is titled, Patients Steer Clear of These Six Orthopedic Procedures. And this was published on March 1st, 2017. After the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, AAOS, released its Choosing Wisely list, it was criticized for selecting items that are uncommonly used or have little effect on the income of its members. In an editorial in the New England Journal of Medicine, Dr. Nancy Morden and colleagues pointed out that the five services listed by this specialty group were particularly low impact. The American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons named use of an over-the-counter supplement, glucosamine and chondroitin, as one of the top practices to question. It similarly listed two small durable medical equipment items and a rare minor procedure, needle lavage for osteoarthritis of the knee. Strikingly, no major procedures, the source of orthopedic surgeons' revenue, appear on the list, though documented wide variation in elective knee replacement and arthroscopy among Medicare beneficiaries suggests that some surgeries might have been appropriate for inclusion. At the Loan Institute's 2015 Road to Right Care Conference, a group of maverick orthopedic surgeons identified five other procedures that, in contrast to the AAOS list, are frequently performed at great expense in the U.S., but provide little or no benefit to patients. Number one, vertebroplasty for spinal compression fractures. In two randomized controlled trials comparing vertebroplasty to a sham procedure, there were no differences in pain or quality of life between the intervention and control groups. Risks of vertebroplasty include causing compression fractures in adjacent vertebrae, dural tears, osteomyelitis, cement migration, and radiculopathies requiring subsequent surgery. Number two, rotator cuff repair for non-traumatic tears in older adults. A randomized trial comparing physical therapy plus acromyoplasty, and physical therapy plus acromyoplasty and rotator cuff repair found no differences between the control and surgery groups after 1 year. About 600,000 Americans undergo rotator cuff surgery every year. Number three, clavicle fracture plating in adolescents. In adolescents with clavicle fractures that were displaced and shortened, there were no differences between non-operative management, a sling for the affected arm, and surgery in appearance, range of motion, or participation in sports activity 2 years after the injury. However, one in four adolescents who underwent surgery required reoperation for surgical complications. Number four, anterior cruciate ligament or ACL reconstruction. In young active adults with acute ACL tears, a randomized trial comparing early, within 10 weeks of the injury, ACL reconstructive surgery plus physical rehabilitation to rehabilitation plus optional delayed reconstruction up to 2 years after the injury found similar outcomes between the groups. 61% of the optional reconstruction group did not require surgery. More than 100,000 ACL reconstructions are performed in the U.S. each year. Number five, partial medial meniscectomy for adults with knee osteoarthritis and no mechanical symptoms. A randomized trial found no benefit of partial meniscectomy compared to sham surgery in adults with degenerative meniscal tears and no osteoarthritis. A systematic review of seven trials came to the same conclusion. In adults with osteoarthritis, surgery plus physical therapy was not more effective than physical therapy alone. Arthroscopic partial meniscectomy is the most commonly performed orthopedic procedure in the U.S., with 700,000 operations annually. And lastly, number six, surgery for adults with displaced proximal humerus fractures. Patients who underwent fracture fixation or humeral head replacement within 3 weeks of sustaining a displaced fracture of the proximal humerus had no better outcomes than patients assigned to non-operative management or sling mobilization after 2 years. What accounts for the continued popularity of ineffective orthopedic procedures? Excessive magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, plays a role. Immediate MRI is rarely indicated for common musculoskeletal conditions and may often provide deceptive or confusing results, such as identifying meniscal tears that are unlikely to be the cause of patients' chronic knee pain. Some primary care clinicians' lack of comfort with the orthopedic examination may lead to unnecessary referrals. Patients who perceive surgery to be a quick fix may not have the patience to stick with physical therapy and rehabilitation. And there is the inescapable reality that, necessary or not, these procedures pay well. And we now have some time left to go back to AARP magazine. And this was from February, March 2017. They have a couple of little columns attached. The first is some of the most common complications. Number one, failed implants. Prosthetics can pop out of the joint or wear down, releasing tiny particles of implant material. In a process called osteolysis, particles trigger inflammation that can weaken bones and cause implants to come loose over time. About 10% of joint replacements eventually fail and need to be redone. Number two, infections. An infection can be devastating, potentially destroying the function of the joint, and in the worst cases, threatening loss of the patient's leg or even life. Infections occur in only 1 to 2.5% of cases, and doctors work to keep risks low with measures such as giving patients preventive antibiotics. Number three, blood clots. Clots are triggered by inflammation that occurs during healing, a process that boosts the risk of having a heart attack as much as 31 times for people 60 and older in the 2 weeks following surgery, according to a study in JAMA Internal Medicine. Knee patients routinely take blood thinners to reduce this risk. Number four, nerve injury. Nerves can be damaged as a result of complications of anesthesia, or the surgeon could damage a nerve during the operation. Both scenarios are rare, though, occurring in less than 1% of cases. Nerve injuries can cause pain and numbness, but they generally improve over time, though not always. And they have another little column, which I will just read the main line, and these are ways to reduce pain and avoid surgery. And the number one is lose weight. Number two is make over your workout, which means avoid knee stressing activities. Number three, strengthen and stretch. Number four, brace yourself with an unload or knee brace. Number five, relieve the pain and swelling. Number six, consider injections. And number seven, try supplements. Which was the glucosamine and chondroitin, which was talked about earlier. And the last on the list here is test out acupuncture. There you have it from AARP if you're considering a knee replacement. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.